North Rock Podcast.
Oh, good morning, North Rock. How are we today? Are we good? Yeah? Good. A whole lot of things going on today, don't we? Right? How many of you guys would readily admit I'm one of those people, right? I'm either in pre-recovery from something or recovery from something, but I'm thankful that I enter into whatever it is with the banner of Jesus hanging over me. Amen? That's what we're here for, is to encourage people on this journey called life. And we've been in a series that we just finished up called Gear Up, talking about some of the giants of the faith and the ways that God created them to live out the story and the life that he has for them. But today, we're going to be talking about what it means to be a worshiper, okay? We're going to be looking at, we're going to strip it back from all of the musical talent, all the good singing voices and all the instruments and all of the ideas that we have about what worship is, and try to get back to just the heart of what worship is. Is that a good thing to talk about in church today? Yeah, because I know we approach the subject from a lot of different positions, right? Some people, it's like, I'm not all that comfortable with this whole worship thing yet. Some people, maybe we've been a little bit in a monotonized, routinized situation where it's like, yeah, we come in, we lift hands, we pray, blah, 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 right? The goal of our talk today is to remove and expand maybe the vision that we have for what worship really is, okay? So let's pray, and then I'm going to jump in and get started, all right? So, Father, we thank you today for this chance to, in the midst of the hurry and the hustle and the bustle of this world, that there's a rhythm from which we can pause, reflect on who you are, and be reminded that we are not in this alone. That it's you who guides us, it's you who leads us, it's you who empowers us to live lives of worship in this world. And so today, as we posture ourselves to talk about this, we do so knowing that you are the living God. You are the one who gave your very life so that we can come to know you. So today, as we come in as your sons and daughters. We come in as those redeemed and filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Pastor Andrew did a great job talking to you about where we're headed in this series. Again, the reminder that we are created for certain things, that part of God forming our life is that we would learn how to live out in tangible and in ways that make a big difference in the world as an expression of God's life, lives of worship and love and service. And you know, to just give you a bias as a pastor, I'm up here today to mention the reality that if we don't take care of the worship piece, that everything else in the Christian life can sometimes start to feel like work. Does that make sense? Is that fair to say? That when we recognize that all of life is worship, it makes it a lot easier to love and serve. That everything that we experience comes from the very life of who Jesus is. Helps me to remember that I'm created for his pleasure. I'm created for his purpose. I'm created for his glory in this world. Okay? So we thought a great way to approach that is to look in the book of John, look at the way that Jesus chose to live his life out, and take some cues from the one who lived worship all the time. So we're going to be looking through the gospel, the lens of the gospel of John, and we're going to be talking about what is worship, all right? So if you were to take just a basic definition of what worship is, I think most of the people in the room could agree that worship, a definition of worship, is the feeling or the expression of reverence and adoration for a deity, right? I think that's a pretty general explanation. I think that's something that's general enough that most people can agree on, that when we talk about worship, the focus of our worship should be an important piece of it, correct? Yeah, so that's kind of what we're talking about here, is that worship is defined, yes, as the feeling or expressions of reverence and adoration for a deity, but can you also agree with me today that worship, defined by a New Testament relationship with God, is so much more than a feeling? Does that make sense? So sometimes there are those times when we're worshiping and it's just like, oh God, I'm so connected. Yes, I feel it. Feels so nice. Right? But there's also those times when it's like, yeah, okay. You know, I didn't feel it. I'd like to suggest this morning that because of what Jesus does in our lives, that we are worshipers 24/7, 365 days a year, all day, all the time, no matter what we're doing. So I hope that rattles a few of us here today are thinking worship's just what we watched up here and what we participated in on a Sunday morning. That I hope to encourage us to really take this idea that we're worshipers of God in our attitudes, right? We're worshipers of God in our workplace. We're worshipers of God in our families. We're worshipers all the time, whether we're conscious of that or not. So worship, defined is a feeling of expression, reverence, or adoration for a deity, but Jesus defined it as so much more. So if you have your Bibles with you, again, my goal for this service was to strip back maybe some of the things that we're accustomed to here. Like, doesn't it seem a little counterproductive that we're talking about worship and Pastor Chad only had him do two songs instead of three like we normally do, right? I know there's some of us in here, we're so used to our routines, it's like, wait a minute, that was a very short worship set, right? We've also stripped back this week the use of our Prezi, because I wanted you to just connect and hear the words of Jesus in a way that maybe helps you relate to what's being said, okay? Without any of the other distractions, without anything else that reinforces it, and get back to just the design of what we do in worship, okay? So if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to John chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. And we're going to be looking at an interaction that Jesus had with a lady who had some questions about what worship was. Because if any of us are honest with one another at all, we'd probably all admit that we're somewhere in the process of learning to be worshipers, right? Can we, in the exact same phrase, in the exact same statement, say, we know that we're worshipers because Jesus created us to worship him, right? We know that's our identity. We know that's who he's made us to be. We know that's what he wants to do. But how many of you guys also might agree with me that I'm being developed as a worshiper in my daily life? That the Holy Spirit is showing me how to walk out a life that's integrated in my life with him. And so Jesus comes across this Samaritan woman. They have an interaction. He does some ministry with her. And then she begins to start to ask questions about where the correct place, the correct way of doing worship is, and what that should look like. And this is his response to her. He says, "You Samaritans know very little about the one that you worship. Well, we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes from the Jews." In verse 23, he says, "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Okay? Now I want you to do a little exercise with me. Is we're so used to being in some of the routines where we're reading off the screen, we're reading it off of our Bibles, we're reading it off of our phones. I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to imagine yourself as this Samaritan woman coming across Jesus in his ministry. I want you to hear these words, and as much as you know how, into the first person. It says, "You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship. While we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Okay, now you need to open your eyes before you fall asleep. Okay, sleeping in church, that's not a good form of worship. It's just not. Okay, so that's your first takeaway that might be worth writing down this morning, okay? So Jesus actually gives us a working definition of what worship looks like, right? He defines it as spirit and truth coming together in someone's life in a way that makes an authentic expression of worship in their life. But what does that mean? What does that mean to us today? What does that mean to us in our lives? How is it that we can live a legacy that Jesus has given us, right? I mean, that's really what the whole incarnation is about, is allowing Jesus to live his legacy through you and me. through us, no matter where we're at, what we're doing, Jesus is with us, living out his legacy in us. And if we're going to participate, if we're going to partake in that great blessing, we need to be worshipers. And people that when they think about us, they think, man, those people worship God, right? So living a legacy means living a life that reflects the life, the very life that Jesus gives. And as his followers, we want to both embrace who he says we are because of that and live into those values. So let me ask you this morning, what does it look like to you to live in spirit and in truth? How is it that those two things come together? What is it that Jesus is trying to communicate to us? And again, I've done some work on this. I'm looking forward to sharing with you three ideas that I think both illustrate and reinforce what Jesus is talking about in that 1-2 punch of spirit and truth working together as we begin to talk about what worship looks like. But I know that at the very moment that I say, what does worship look like? We all have an image that pops up, right? Sometimes it's a stage. Sometimes it's a particular group of people coming together. Sometimes it's a particular set of songs, right? Maybe our experiences that we've lived into more of a contemporary expression of worship. And when we think of worship, we think of places like Hillsong, right? We think of places that are just a gift of worship in this world. And maybe it's more contemporary standpoint. We think about the music. We think about the accoutrements that go alongside of a worship service in church. In reality, that's one of those ideas of reductionism, right? Where we've taken an aspect of what worship is and we've tried to define the whole thing about it, right? So my goal today is for us to be reminded that worship is this, but it's so much more. It's so much more. It's the very breath with which we live the Christian life. So 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says this, "The Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them." That's got to be freeing for some of us today, right? That's good news to be reminded that God doesn't see things the exact way that I see it, right? "People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." I think that's a great sentiment that reminds us of what Jesus is trying to communicate to us in this spirit and truth coming together to work together to show us how to live out a life of worship, all right? So, a life of worship in spirit and in truth, as I understand it, as the way that it makes sense to me, is three basic ideas that I want us to continue to live into and to grow into here at North Rock Church. The first is intimacy. I think that when he's talking about this idea of living in spirit, it's that reminder that we're spiritual people, that we were designed to commune with God, that that's how he built us and that's what he went to the cross to make sure that we can do. How many of you guys with me would agree that intimacy should be an important part of the way we worship, right? Jesus says it this way in John chapter 10, verse 30, which I think is an amazing way for God to talk to us about what worship really is. It's that idea of coming together. It's that idea of being reminded, as Jesus said it, that he and the Father are one. That there's nothing that separates them. There's nothing that's in the way of that. There's nothing that distracts. There's nothing that's causing him to lose connection in his worship of the Father, right? And I, for one, am super excited to know that because of what Jesus does for us, that we can live in that exact same place of intimacy with God. So when I think of worship, I don't think of the songs first. I don't think about the music first. I think about the connection to God, the reminder that I'm created to live in unity and intimacy with the Holy Spirit. John chapter 5, verse 19 says it this way. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." John 5, 19, right? Again, the Father and I are one. What the Father shows me to do, that's what I do. I think it's a great way for us to think about what worship looks like. And as a pastor that was saved in this church over 20 years ago, I can tell you that there's also that developmental process of recognizing this and living this out as the most true expression of what Jesus wants to do in my life. How many of you guys are thankful today that God doesn't expect us to have it all together all the time, right? That's why he's God, and that's why we're not. That's why we don't see the way he does. He sees the way he does, right? But his goal is to create a perfect environment for us to know that we are accepted and loved and in an intimate relationship with him at all times, right? So as I came into this church for the very first time, I was one of those that I saw the worship expression going on as we just experienced a couple of songs ago, right? The public corporate worship time, people are singing, you know, sometimes we're crying, sometimes we're lifting our hands, sometimes we're kneeling. There's all these different postures that the scripture says are inbounds way to worship the Lord as a genuine expression of our love for him, right? And at the end of the day, isn't that really what worship is? It's returning praise for the goodness of what he's done in our lives, right? But when I came in, I saw people doing that, and I was just kind of like, yeah, this is kind of strange. I mean, how many other places do you go during your regular week where you walk in and people are going, oh, Lord, right? Not a lot of places, so it was a little different for me, okay? And so as the Lord began to work, freeing work in that, he had some work to do, right? And he continues to do that work in me as I learn to be a more expressive and free worshiper of the Lord. So that very first time, the pastor asked me to kind of raise your hands as an expression of not just saying, Lord, I trust you with my life. I'm giving myself up to you. But also I'm in reverence raising my hands and saying, I surrender to who you are. Mine kind of looked like this. I did it. All right, moving on, right? So again, part of why I make that point isn't to say that what we do here is always the most pure expression of what worship is, but it is intended to lead us into and to go deeper with our expressions of worship. Does that make sense? That when we're gathered together, the Lord is in this place in a way that's special and tangible and keeps us coming back for more, right? That when we're with other people who love Jesus and we're expressing that as a way of worshiping him in this world with our time and our energy and our life, that we grow in those habits. So all that to say that God is developing a heart of worship in me, and it's something that happens over time, right? So intimacy, transparency before God, that if we're going to be worshipers, we have to remember that Jesus made it possible for us to have intimacy with God. That without that, we approach him in a way that isn't consistent with the work and goodness of what Jesus does for us on the cross. Okay, the second word that goes with the spirit and truth balance that Jesus talks about is the idea of authenticity. How many of you guys think authenticity is an important word when we're talking about worship, right? That we want to practice what we preach. We want to, as much as we can, live out a genuine expression of our hope and our love and our faith and our identification with who Jesus is and what he represents in this world, okay? So as I was doing my research this week, talking about this idea of authenticity, in other words, that I'm the same here at church as I am in other places, that I'm still walking this out, growing in God's grace, but I'm consistently and authentically trying to live out what I espouse as my beliefs. Does that make sense? And in the Matthew Henry commentary, they stated this process of God working in our lives this way. It says, it is possible that we may be better than our neighbors and yet not so good as we should be. It concerns us to be right, not only in the object of our worship, right? That's what we started the message with. We have to think about who it is that we worship to know what's the appropriate response to the one that we worship. He says it's not only the object of our worship, but also the manner of it. And it's this which Christ instructs in us, right? That as God grows us and leads us and develops us, we should more and more and more live to be an expression of worship to him. The very air that we breathe, that we sing about, right? The very words of our mouth, the very ways that we approach life, the very attitudes that we reflect back is really his goodness, his grace, his values being lived out through our life. So it's important when we talk about worship that we think about intimacy. That we remember that it's a privilege and it's an honor and it's a powerful time to worship the Lord. And the second one is the authenticity, that we want to live authentically, that we don't want to be those that might be called hypocrites in this world, right? Anybody ever hear that that's something they say about Christians in this world? Oh, they're so hypocritical. You know, they're so hypocritical, right? Can I just tell you, I know a lot of people around this place. I don't know very many hypocrites. Just saying, it's a safe place. Okay, it's a safe place. We all got stuff. We're all growing in grace. And we're all trying to live out the values that Jesus has given us through the life and the power that he gives us, right? But to me, hypocrisy, this whole idea of saying one thing, living something else, is what this issue addresses. When I'm living out worship the way that God intends me to live out worship, there's authenticity that I'm practicing what God's asked me to do and living out the life with the power that he supplies. So, John chapter 10, verses 37 and 38 says it this way. Jesus says, don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. But if I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works that I've done. Even if you don't believe me. He says, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father, right? Again, there's that connection. There's that intimacy. There's that transparency. There is the authenticity of the relationship. And then the third piece that I think is a great way to live out spirit and truth is that integrity, right? It's the integrity of bringing glory to God. That when you strip back what worship really is about, it's about living a life that's been touched and transformed by God. That really part of being a worshiper isn't so much whether or not we can sing or whether or not we can dance or what posture we choose to worship him in. It's the fact that we recognize that we are created to bring glory to God in this world. And that can be expressed in a lot of different ways. Listen, I admitted to the first group, our first service at 9 o'clock, that I was a little intimidated when I came into worship services when I first became a Christian. Not just because I didn't understand this, right? And I was kind of working my way up to, okay, yeah, I got it free, right? But I can't sing a lick, y'all, okay? I don't know how to play that or this or anything else. So the music, Gene and my family just skipped a generation, all right? It jumped right over me. And so the idea as a full-grown man to come into a place and stand around strangers and sing songs to God, which is, for most people, a pretty private, you know, situation, was a growth curve for me, right? So I've admitted to you that I don't sing very well. You don't have to admit to me that you don't sing very well, but I do know, because I have ears, that some of us may struggle just a little bit in kind of key and octave. And so I'm not looking at anybody, okay? Yeah. But thank God that we can define and live out worship in ways that don't have to be summarized just by the way that I sing, right? Thank God for that. Thank God for that. That really us living out his legacy by bringing glory to God is a great way to think about spirit and truth coming together to live its expression through us, okay? So according to that Matthew Henry commentary, those two ideas of spirit and truth, they have this way of explaining it, okay? He says, we must depend upon God's spirit for strength and assistance. Spirit, right? We must depend upon God's spirit for strength and assistance, laying our souls under his influences and operations. We must devote our own spirits to and employ them in the service of God. So that's why I opened with that comment that I did, that if we don't take time to worship God, if we don't recognize that he is pleased and we have a relationship that should be informed by intimacy and authenticity and integrity, then everything that we do after that comes from a different motive. Do you understand that? That when we don't recognize that Jesus has made it possible for us to worship God 24/7 with nothing in the way, everything stripped back, then everything else that we do, if we don't see it that way, right, becomes work. It becomes monotony. It becomes effort. It becomes laborious, right? So they say we must depend on God's strength and spirit for assistance, laying down our souls under his influence and operation, and we must devote our own spirits, employing them in the service of God. We must worship him with a fixedness of thought and a flame of affection with all that is within us, right? Have you guys ever heard that phrase that to offer anything but all of our worship to God ceases to be worship? Does that make sense? That it's really it's really our expression of his goodness in our life that causes us to worship. And the ways that we carry ourselves, and the way that where our attitudes work, and the ways that we submit every thought to Christ, and the ways that we sing, and the ways that we share relationships with others, okay? And the in truth part, they make this point. That Matthew Henry commentary says, in truth, that is in sincerity. So truth is equated with sincerity. It says that God requires not only an inward part of our worship, but truth in the inward part. So not just the inward part of our worship, but truth in the inward part of our worship. It says that we must mind the power more than the form. We must aim at God's glory, not to be seen of men, but to truly draw near with a true heart, right? That really is the heart of worship. That really is the idea that God had in mind when he said, worship me first. Have nothing above me, right? So, Jesus said it this way. He says, my message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or merely my own. Those who speak for themselves want glory only for themselves, but a person who seeks to honor the one who sent me speaks truth and not lies. So again, as people interact with our lives, there's opportunity given for them to see that we're living for his glory. That's, to me, an important piece of what worship's about. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up. As promised, we didn't just shorten worship. We wanted to talk for a few moments about what worship is, and then we wanted to lead you back into a worship set where we just rest in God's work in us in worship. So as they come up and they get prepared, I want to just remind us that the time that we have on a Sunday morning within the confines of this building really is a gift from God. It's a gift that we can draw near to him, and that when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And I can tell you that when we worship, God's active. God is at work. God is doing things in our hearts and in our lives to realign, to pull back together spirit and in truth, right? So let's pray, and then we're gonna sing a couple more songs, okay? Before I do that, I just want to just ask our worship leader this morning, Ben. Can everybody say hi to Ben?
Hi, everyone.
So, Ben, anything you'd like to add, anything you'd like to say about some of these concepts we've been talking about today?
Yeah, I think you did a really good job, first of all. But, yeah, I think when you talked about connection, I think that's huge because we're up here and we're just playing notes and playing songs and singing songs together, and yet there's like there's something that happens, you know, spiritually that's beyond that. And I think what that is connection. We're connecting with God. I think one of the most difficult parts of life is when we lack connection, you know, when we feel like we're going through stuff on our own. But the truth is God is in us, you know. We pray that God will come, and yet God lives inside of us. This is just a vehicle. It's an opportunity. It's a time when we connect with God. I love hearing everyone sing. I love when we come together. I think there's a connection that happens in the body of Christ together where we're all, it's simple. We're singing the same words at the same time, but we are not just doing our individual thing. We're coming together and doing one thing. And God, I think God loves that too. And so I think, just the way that God connects us to himself and each other through just doing some music is, you know, it's phenomenal what God does and can do.
That's really good. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. So I did want to just say before we lead in that we are grateful for our worship team. We're thankful for your gifts. We're thankful for the way that you lead us in and you cause us to go deeper than those of us that can't sing and don't play instruments can do on our own. Okay? You guys are a gift to us, and we're so appreciative of the way that you live out a life of integrity and authenticity and intimacy before the Lord. One of the things that I love about Ben is that no matter what is going on in life, I know he's right there. As soon as he gets on the stage, boom. You can sense, you can feel that intimacy with God. So that is the exact same thing that the scriptures say about any one of us that know Jesus Christ, right? So as we enter into worship one more time in our services today, would you take a posture before him that reflects intimacy, that reflects authenticity, that reflects the integrity, the relationship that he's given to you, that he's afforded us? And can you take just a few moments of our day today and remember who it is that we worship? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your work in our midst. Lord, we thank you that while we're still trying to figure out life and appropriate worship and how to live this thing out, Lord, that you are so committed to us. Lord, your word says that it's not just you and God that are one, Lord, but that through a relationship with you, we are one with you. And so, Lord, that's how we approach you as your sons and daughters. It's how we approach you as those who have been saved by grace. That's how we approach you as those who are thankful children of the Most High God. And Lord, we declare and we acknowledge that's who we worship today. The living God, the healer, the Savior, the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and our soon coming King. And so, Lord, we pray that our hearts would be bared before you and that our lives would breathe worship. Lord, we pray that as we worship you today, that anything that might be binding us from breaking through and worship in our life would be bound up in Jesus' name. Pray, Father, you would heal, that you would deliver, that you would strengthen your people as we come before you and confess you as the one who gave his all so that we could have life. Amen. Father, we bless you today. We thank you that our appropriate response to the good work that you're doing in us and through us throughout this world that you make available through the cross is to return praise to you. And so today, Lord, we declare that you are faithful, that you are good, that you love us, that you have made it possible for us to experience a life with you that's marked by intimacy, authenticity, and transparency. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing a work in us. And I just sense that today as we're worshiping, that there are some of us in here getting free from some stuff. Is that accurate? Is that true? Yeah, there's some things falling off of us. We thank you. As we lift up your name, things fall off of us. Lord, that if we could see in the spiritual, as we declare you Lord, Savior, Healer, the one who gives us power for this Christian life, Lord, that you do the heavy lifting for us. So today, we proclaim that in Jesus' name, freedom in Christ. We proclaim today Jesus' name over our people, that you are calling us to be worshipers of you. Lord, that you are lifting us to a higher plane in our worship of you. Father, we thank you that as we stay connected to you, Lord, that you bear much fruit in our lives. And really, that is all that worship is about, is that we bear the fruit that you make possible in us and through us. So today, I pray that as we close out our service today, as we've talked about this idea of worship, as we respond to who you are in worship, Lord, that we would be a people committed to worshiping you day in, day out, all the time, in all ways. Maybe you're here today and you just say, Pastor Chad, I don't know a lot about this worship. I'm kind of in that stage, in that place that you described you were those years back, that I don't really know what I'm experiencing here today. But can I encourage you today that Jesus makes it possible for us to enter in to worship in the ways that we've talked about today? You know, the Bible teaches us in Romans that if we can confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died for our sins on that cross, and he rose from the grave 3 days later, that we can have his life, that we can really become living expressions of his inheritance in our life. So if that's you here today, I just want to encourage you to make that decision, to say, yes, I know this is who God has made me to be, and I'm growing in those ways because Jesus breaks away the chains in my life. Amen? So whether we're praying it for the first time or the 500th time, we're going to pray a prayer with those that are making that decision for the first time today. Okay? So I'm not looking at anybody. It's too dark. I can't see anybody specifically right now. But I know that some of us are probably praying this for the 500th time, right? One of the most important parts of keeping our hearts in spirit and in truth is that we find ways for authentic expression, that we change up the routines when we need to. But whether it's your first time or your 500th time, we're going to pray this prayer. But again, like I'm saying, I don't know if it's your 500th time. I'm not looking at you, okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe. Let me hear you. 3 days later, that's right. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scriptures, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, if God's doing something good in your life, can you give him an applause? Lord, we love you. We're thankful for you. And we're seeing what you're doing in our midst, okay? So I wanted to close with a scripture verse, and then I'll send you off in prayer. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says this, that since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Amen? So everything that he has done has made us worshipers. Father, we bless your name. We thank you for the privilege that it is to come before you today. And Lord, we acknowledge that we live in relationship with you, marked by intimacy, authenticity, and integrity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.